Time to meet the men from the ministry. Let's take another sprint down the corridors of power with Norma Ronald, Ronald Badley, John Graham, and the men from the ministry, Richard Murdoch and Derek Guiler. We focus not only on those who work in government offices, but also on those who simply spend their days there. And especially on the General Assistance Department, where even now, in their office high above Whitehall, Lennox Brown and Lamb are studying problems of aerodynamics.
I'm quite sure this one has the greatest flight potential.
Possibly, but range and speed aren't everything, you know. One also looks for style and elegance. That's why I favor this one.
Just a minute, one.
What is it?
I think she's going to lay an egg.
Well, I believe you're right.
Well done, Cleopatra. I say we mustn't let the permanent undersecretary see this. You saw that memo he sent round last week.
Yeah, saying pigeons on the windowsills were a pest. I read it too, yes.
He said we must take appropriate action.
I did. I tore up the memo and threw it out of the window.
Quite right.
Actually, the birds collected the pieces and used it to line their nest.
Well, now we know why they built it.
Yes, and we know which is Antony and which is Cleopatra. Yeah. So I win the bet.
I'd like to know how you guessed.
Well, I thought this was the lady when she seemed dissatisfied with the nest. Kept sending that one out for more twigs.
Well, they're a handsome couple, and they seem jolly proud of that egg.
So am I, too. Nice to think they picked our windowsill to start a family. In fact, I think this calls for a little celebration.
I'll get the brandy from the first aid cupboard.
Good, yes. Oh, and bring a biscuit or something, will you? We must let the pigeons join the party. Mm. Besides, I mean, you've got to build up your strength, Cleopatra, haven't you? Eh? Mm. Yes. And you take good care of her, Antony. You're looking very pleased with yourself, cheeky young devil.
Here we are, one. Brandy and biscuits.
Ah, thank you. Now we'll break up a biscuit in half and we'll dip it in the brandy.
Oh, sir. Oh, one, that's vandalism. You'll spoil the bouquet of that biscuit.
Oh, don't fuss, too. We want the birds to celebrate. Darling, crumble the biscuit on the sill. Mm. There, that's the idea. Ah, now that's better than you get in Trafalgar Square, isn't it, eh? Oh, well, they like that, don't they?
Yeah.
Cheers, too.
Cheers, one, and let's hope the permanent undersecretary never finds out. He really hates these pigeons, you know.
Oh, talk of the devil there, Sir Gregory, now. Here, you see him? Down
oh,
there.
Yes.
Look,
oh.
Just coming up the steps.
Yes,
the street.
There he is. Oh, he stopped to talk to Lord Stilton.
Uh-oh. Antony's getting restless. Looks as though he's going to take off.
Oh, I hope he doesn't. Antony, don't.
I'm afraid he has.
Yeah. Perhaps Sir Gregory will move.
Yeah! I'm afraid he has.
Amazing how birds know their enemies.
Very intelligent creatures. Get your head in, too. Sir Gregory's looking up here.
Antony, you're a very bad bird. Yes, you are, and we all feel like that about Sir Gregory, but we keep our opinions to ourselves.
I don't think Antony cares. He's gobbling up some more of that biscuit.
I'm not sure alcohol's good for him. He ought to be staying sober now he has responsibilities as a parent.
Oh, nonsense, too. Look, he's taking off again. Lucky Sir Gregory's gone indoors.
What did I tell you? He's definitely a bit unsteady.
Well, you know Sir Gregory has probably been to the club. Got a bit overtired, I dare say.
Not Sir Gregory, the pigeon. Instead of his usual graceful glide, he's lurching drunkenly across the sky.
Oh, glory.
Oh, dear. Oh, he's gone into a nosedive.
You're right. He looks completely out of control.
He's plummeting down in the middle of Whitehall.
Oh, I can't look too. What's happening?
Oh, dear.
What was he?
A juggernaut on its way to Dover.
Run him over?
No, but he landed on top of it, and by the time he sobers up, he'll be in Paris.
Poor chap. Well, we shan't see him again.
I wonder if he speaks pigeon French.
Oh, I'll never forgive myself, too. Oh, that brandy. Oh, dear, dear, dear. Poor Cleopatra. A single parent family on our windowsill. Yes, well, we'll have to rally round, too.
Huh? How did it happen, Mr. Lamb?
Well, Mr. Crawley, you could say he went into a sudden decline, and Mr. LB and I feel responsible.
The trouble is, you see, he's gone just when she's rearing her first egg. She needs to be brought food, you see.
She hasn't a mate to share the job of sitting on the egg, you see.
That's where we thought you might help, Mildred.
You could never squat on that sill, sir. I'm terrified, are you?
No, no. We don't want you to sit on the nest. We hoped you might help with the feeding.
Oh. Now, according to this bird book we've bought, the best diet is millet and cod liver oil.
So we'd like you to go out and buy some of both. Take the money from the petty cash. It's government work.
Then you can make up little paste balls from the millet and oil, see? And we'll keep a supply on my desk, right?
Right, sir.
Good. Mr. Lamb and I will be responsible for actually giving the bird food and water, but we must all help to protect Cleopatra from her natural enemies.
Natural enemies, Mr. Lennox Brown?
Natural enemies, Mr. Crawley. Namely, Sir Gregory Pitkin and the caretaker's cat.
Oh, yes. That vicious creature with a mangy head and the wicked eyes.
Quite. And the cat's almost as bad.
You all know Sir Gregory's told us to sweep pigeons off the suits. Now, I don't want to encourage disobedience, but it was clearly established in Nuremberg that where an order goes against the common humanity, there's only one answer.
Push Sir Gregory out the window.
Well, nothing quite so drastic, unfortunately. But when he turns up, he must be detained in the outer office as long as possible, while whoever's in here carries out Operation Screw-Up.
Mr. Lamb has found that enormous notice board you see over there. While Sir Gregory's held in the outer office, it's to be screwed in place here. It will completely cover the small window where Cleopatra is sitting.
But it'll cut out half the light, Mr. Lennox Brown. Won't Sir Gregory notice?
Well, let's hope not. Luckily, Sir Gregory's been in public service for many years, so he's not quite as bright as a normal person. And there are other windows, of course.
Remember, if Sir Gregory ever sees that nest, it'll be curtains for Cleopatra and the rest of us on the carpet.
I left my home in Clapham High Street.
Sorry to burst in on you, Mildred.
What?
I wanted to peek at your what's-his-name.
Do what?
I was hoping to see your schedule. Is there any progress on those RAF jobs?
No, not really, Mr. Crawley. Mr. Lamb did put in a suggestion for reducing noise from low-flying aircraft.
Oh, what was that?
Make all the pilots wear carpet slippers. But really, they've not had time for that stuff. They're all in a doodah about this pigeon.
So I see. I never knew Mr. Lennox Brown so keen. Yesterday afternoon, he didn't leave till nearly four.
And Mr. Lamb was in at 10 this morning to give Cleopatra her first feed.
If they go on keeping hours like that, Sir Gregory will get suspicious.
Right on. Well, excuse me, Mr. Crawley. I just mixed up some more bird food. I'd better take it in.
Righty-ho, Mildred. More power to your what's-his-name.
Oh, ta. I've done some more paste balls for the pigeons, sir. Shall I put them on your desk with the others?
Oh, yes. Thank you, Mildred.
Watch you, sir.
Well, I hope this cod liver oil and millet's the right thing.
It looks pretty nasty, but Cleopatra seems to like it. She's about due for her midday feed, isn't she? Hello, Cleopatra.
There you are. There you are. Nice lunch.
Do you think she looks a bit tired, one?
Oh, yes, you may be right.
Eat up your dinner, Cleopatra, and then you can have a nice sleep. She gets enough water from this thing, then?
Oh, yes. That little silver rowing cup of Sir Gregory's is ideal for her to drink from. And it always looked out of place on our mantelpiece. Good. Well, there's plenty of food left for later. Put it back on the desk, too, will you?
Here, watch out. I can hear Sir Gregory talking in the passage. I think he's coming in.
Oh, Glory, thank you, Mildred. Yes. Now, keep him out there as long as you can, right?
Right on, sir.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
This is it, too. Yes. Big one. Operation whatever it is.
Yes, we're ready, one. The window's shut. You take that end of the notice board.
Right, got it, too. Yes. Right, you ready?
Yes, left, over here.
Left, oh, right up.
Both ends up. Now, good thing we fixed those hooks on the wall.
Steady, too, steady. Yes. Take it, gently.
All right.
We could do ourselves a mischief.
Oh, yes. Here we are. Ah, covers up the whole window space.
Where did you find this old notice board?
Behind some crates in the storeroom. Must have been there for years.
Certainly must. Those notices are ancient.
Oh, dear, I should have spotted that. I'll take them down and...
then, you two.
Too late.
Ah, Sir Gregory, what a pleasant surprise. Trust you're well, sir, and Lady Pitkin?
Stop prattling, man.
Has she really? Just let's hope it lasts, sir.
I want to know how you're getting on with that RAF recruiting campaign.
Oh, tremendously well, Sir Gregory. I can honestly say we've almost started.
What?
The fact is, sir, we were a bit held up for a slogan. Something punchy to launch the thing.
Slogan, eh? Well, find something fresher than these on your notice board. What's this? Got your ration book, chum? Keep your tin hat neath your bed when zeppelins are overhead. The war's been over a long time, you know.
Yes, we do know that, Sir Gregory, but you can't be sure when someone will start another one, you see. I mean, if they do, we in this office are ready.
With your tin hats and your ration books, eh? Well, you should be all right, as long as they're using zeppelins. Yeah, but look at this notice. I hope that trade delegation from Munich didn't see it. You see what it says, Lamb?
You there, have a care. German spies are everywhere. Oh, dear. Perhaps that's why they didn't order our trooping of the colour tea towels.
There's something strange about this room today.
Oh, surely not, sir.
Seems much darker than usual.
Oh, I don't think so, Sir Gregory. We were just remarking how bright it was.
Yes, we were.
And what are these disgusting objects on your desk? Little balls of some kind of horrid paste.
Ah.
They're lozenges, Sir Gregory.
Yes, they're lozenges.
Yes.
Lamb and I have had some trouble with our throats, haven't we, too?
Have we? Trouble. Oh, yes, we certainly have.
Oh, you poor fellow. You'd better have one now.
No, thank you, sir. I just had one.
Well, have another. We want you fully fit.
No, really.
Take it, Lamb.
Thank you, yes.
That should get him going.
Very likely, Sir Gregory.
But I don't want any sickness or slacking in here. These RAF jobs are urgent, so get on with them.
Yeah, oh, this stuff's disgusting. Cleopatra can't really enjoy it, can she?
Well, I expect it's different for birds. Now, quick, let's get this notice board down and see how she is. That business may have frightened her.
It certainly frightened me. Have you got your end one?
Yes, right.
Okay.
Come on, lift it again enough.
To you.
Well, look out. You've got it caught on. That's better. Right. Oh, there we are. Oh, dear. Now, open window.
Hello, Cleopatra. Are you all right? She looks a bit excited, Bun.
Yes, there's something different about the way she's sitting. By Jove, I want... Two. Can you see what I can see?
Another egg.
Twins! It makes all the trouble worthwhile, doesn't it? Mind you, we have a double responsibility now, too.
Honest, Mr. Crawley, I'm getting real worried about them two.
Well, this is a tricky time with the eggs about to hatch.
And as for Mandy, well, I'll never forget it.
No, nor me. When LB rushed out of his office, I thought he'd seen a what's-his-name.
Of course, it was a shock. Cleopatra going off and leaving her eggs like that.
Oh, I'm sure they came to no harm. After all, they kept them covered up.
Yeah, that worried me at the time. They say if the mother comes back and finds the eggs covered, it scares her away.
Well, they took care of that, apparently. Mr. Lamb sat by the window all night, so the moment Cleopatra appeared, he could whip his bowler hat off the eggs.
Well, I'll tell you, I'll be glad when things are back to normal. Every time I go in there, Mr. Lamb stood with his head stuck out the window.
Yes, I know. The people opposite must think our building's got a new gargoyle.
Oh, I haven't seen him so anxious since he caught his tie in the duplicator. I'm sure it can't be good for him.
I don't think Cleopatra looks at all well today. She hasn't even eaten her elevenses. And I brought that rhubarb specially. She's so fidgety all of a sudden.
I'm afraid you're right, too. Looks very peaky. Bloodshot eyes, feathers coming out. I don't like the look of this.
What are we going to do?
We'll get a vet, of course. I'll ring up that animal clinic and have them send someone as soon as possible.
And ask Mildred to find some smelling salts, would you? Oh, dear. I hope we're not too late.
Smelling salts.
Oh, thank you.
There, feel better now?
Yes, thanks.
Good.
I'm very worried about Cleopatra.
Well, Mr. Elby rang the clinic half an hour ago. He'll be there along in a minute.
Where's Elby now?
I don't know. As soon as he phoned the animal clinic, he dashed out with his glasses all steamed up.
I've been trying to get Cleopatra to eat, but she won't have any. Oh, I wish that vet would hurry.
Look out, everyone. Sir Gregory's coming down the passage.
Oh, my goodness. No time to put up the notice board. Quick, Mildred, I'll shut the window. You draw the curtains.
Yeah, I better just stand in front of them.
Now, look here. About this RAF recruiting business. Hello, where's Lennox Bart?
I'm afraid he's out, Sir Gregory.
I can see that, but... Wait a minute. This room's changed again. I know you've got the curtains drawn. Why, Lamb?
Why, Sir Gregory? Well, we didn't want the sunshine to fade the ministry carpet.
But the sun isn't shining today.
Still, it's best to be prepared.
Ah, it's not good enough. Why are those curtains drawn?
Is Mr. Lennox Brown, sir? He's not feeling too well today. Couldn't stand the light.
Not well?
No.
Lennox Brown?
Yes, that's why he slipped out for a moment. He had trouble with his breathing and... We hope to walk might put a stop to it.
How very peculiar. What brought this on?
Perhaps he's been overworking.
Don't be facetious, lad.
Excuse me. Is this Mr. Lennox Brown's office?
Yes, that's right.
Good. My name's Cameron, and I've come from the clinic. Mr. Lennox Brown sent for me. Where is the poor wee beastie?
Just a minute. Who did you say you were?
He's from the clinic, Sir Gregory. Mr. Lennox Brown sent for him to cure this little trouble.
Oh, more serious than I thought. What exactly are the symptoms?
Fidgeting, loss of appetite, nervous shaking of the head.
Good Lord, I wonder what it could be.
From those symptoms and the ones Mr. Lennox Brown described on the phone, I suspect bumblefoot, thread worm, or scaly leg. Worst, of course, it could be wishbone disease or scruffy pox.
How appalling! What could cause that sort of condition?
Oh, these things are often caused by dirt. Some of them here in London don't keep themselves too clean.
I can hardly believe it.
Not very bright, you see. Can't expect it with such a small head.
Yes, thank you. Perhaps you'd like to wait in the outer office till we have the patient ready.
By all means, I can be preparing my kit. I'll have to start by scrubbing the patient's feet.
Scrubbing the patient's feet?
Aye. And then I'll give the body a good dusting over with DDT.
Well, I suppose Lennox Brown's entitled to choose his own advisors.
You were going to wait in the outer office.
Well, it's all right, I'm off now. Meeting of the supply committee. Pity, I'd have liked to stay and watch the treatment. And remember, sickness or no sickness, I want that RAF job sorted out.
Strange man. Reminds me of a rabid dog I had to put down once.
Was he mad?
Well, he wasn't very pleased.
The pigeon's out on the windowsill, Mr. Cameron. Have you got everything you need? I mean, stethoscope, thermometer, shall I fetch some boiling water?
No, that won't be necessary. Now, let's have a look at the bird. Well, she looks quite bonny to me.
She certainly seems a lot better now. I say, look, there's a broken eggshell.
Here, does that mean?
I think one of them's hatched.
They're both hatched. Look, there they are.
How absolutely marvelous.
Well, it seems I'm in time to offer congratulations. I hope you'll all be very happy.
Everyone, what's going on here?
It's happened, one. They've arrived, both of them. Look.
Why? Sure, well done. As a matter of fact, I'll surprise you. I had a premonition this was imminent. That's why I nipped out to the shops. I've got a bit of something to mark the occasion.
You haven't one, I say. A bottle of Peruvian port-type sherry. How splendid.
You'll join us in the glass, Mr.
Cameron. Thank you, I'll take a dram. But I must remind you, your worries aren't over yet. These squabs won't fly for a fortnight or more, so you'll be looking after them as well as their mother.
There's this memo from Miss Deeds in admin to all offices.
Well, don't fuss, Mulder, don't fuss. Another appeal, I expect. Around this time of year, we're asked to give something to the Civil Service Retirement Home.
Would they accept Sir Gregory, do you think?
No, sir, this is urgent. You better read it.
Starting tomorrow, workmen will be redecorating the exterior of the building.
Ah, yes, that'll be Lord Stilton. He's always on at Miss Deeds to touch up his frontage.
The work will be done from the outside, but secretaries are asked to oblige the workmen whenever possible. Seems fair enough, Mildred. This building's needed redecoration ever since that hooligan painted Down with Disraeli on the wall.
But don't you see? Scaffolding painters. What's going to happen to the pigeons?
Oh, the pigeons. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, you're right, Mildred. Of course it will. Oh, it'll be pandemonium.
They'll wreck that nest in no time. And they'll scare Cleopatra off. And the babies will die.
Oh, how can we stop them, man? Could we say it would hold up our work?
That's not the subject I'd like to raise just now. Don't forget Sir Gregory's ultimatum on the RAF job.
Oh, dear, well, we must do something. If we could just hold them off for a few days, then Starsky and Hutch would have learnt to fly. And they'd all be gone.
Yeah, how about sitting in the road? I mean, stop the lorries bringing the scaffolding. Yeah, that's it. Picket the building. That'd solve the problem.
No, oh, no, no. It'll only get worse if you picket. Mildred, you give me an idea. Get Scotland Yard on the phone, the traffic director. And don't say it's me. Don't say it's me. Say it's, the Duke of Harlow. At the Office of State Occasion.
Righty-ho, I'll call from the outer office and put him through.
Right.
The Duke of Harlow? There isn't one, is there? I mean, what is all this?
Well, Mildred's right. If we stop the lorries, they can't start the job.
But we can't sit down in the road. It'd be... It's against all my... It'd be cold and wet.
Exactly. A little bluff is called for here. Ah, that'll be my call now. Hello? Is that the traffic director at Scotland Yard?
Aye, Kibble here. That's the Duke of Harlow, is it?
That's right, Kibble, yes. At the Office of State Occasion. Just wanted to check the arrangements for tomorrow's visit of the Sultan of Brobat.
No, what was that again, sir?
Oh, come along, don't quibble, Kibble. The Sultan of Brobat. Don't tell me you're not aware of his state visit.
Oh, no. We know about it, of course. I just can't quite put my finger on the details.
Well, you better get your finger moving. He arrives first thing tomorrow.
Tomorrow, does he? Oh, I mean, yes, that's right, he does.
And you know, of course, he plans to visit Parliament tomorrow or the next day. So he'll be driving down Whitehall in his coach.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yes, with the Sultana, of course.
Quiet.
So you're closing Whitehall to vehicles from first thing tomorrow till further notice.
Are we?
Well, of course you are, man. Now, don't keep me chattering. I've got to get on to the honours list.
Oh, yes, we are. Absolutely, closing Whitehall to traffic. Till further notice, did you say?
Till further notice, yes.
Oh. I'd have thought, that is, we thought, just till Friday might do it.
Oh, very well. They should have flown away by then.
Flown away?
They've flown back to Brobat. Yes, well, thank you for your cooperation. I thought I'd better not push me luck. Gives the birds an extra 2 days anyway. Mm,
2 days? I hope they can learn to fly in that time. Perhaps if we stand by the window and flap our arms, they'll get the idea. Oh, Starsky, you must try. Look, like this, do you see? Get it?
Lamb, you've been jumping off the desk for 2 days. Starsky just doesn't want to know.
Yes, you'd better stop, too. You've had your teeth out twice. It'd be good for you, you know.
But doesn't he know it's Friday? Look, they're already unloading the scaffolding down there.
Well, I thought of getting the ban extended when Mr. Kibble wasn't in his office. Seems the whole of Scotland Yard is out looking for the Duke of Harlow.
I hope they never know we were responsible. We're in enough trouble with this recruiting program. Sir Gregory said if we hadn't got a slogan by midday, there'd be civil service cuts.
There'd be cuts anyway, Mr. Lamb.
This was different. He was waving the paper knife in my face.
Well, don't worry, too. If you haven't thought of one by 11:30, I'll start thinking about it.
Oh, but what about little Starsky, sir? I can't think what's holding him back. He's got all his feathers. His mum's flown off, his bubba's flown off. But he's still just sitting there.
In 2 minutes, it'll be too late.
Yes, look, Sir Gregory's gone out to give the workmen their instructions.
I say, Starsky's on the move.
By Jove, yes. He's struggling out of the nest.
Well done, Starsky. Here, he's taken off. He can fly.
Oh, I wonder if he... I hope he doesn't... Starsky, don't.
Too late, I'm afraid he has.
No, perhaps Sir Gregory will move.
Oh, I'm afraid he hasn't.
Oh, Starsky, you are a little rascal.
Oh, Sir Gregory's furious. Look, he's shaking his fist.
Starsky doesn't mind. He's flying up to the roof.
His father would be very proud of him.
And you know one?
What?
I've got that RAF slogan we wanted.
Really?
How about this? Why not be just like a lark? Learn to fly and make your mark. I thought you were going to...
Spreading their wings as the men from the ministry were Richard Murdoch and Derek Giler. Also featured were Norma Ronald, Ronald Badley, and John Graham. The program was written and produced by Edward Taylor.